This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The All Women's Action Society, or AWAM, turns 35 this year, and the organization was amongst the movers and shakers for the women's movement in the early 80s during the Reformasi movement. AWAM's work has been focused on victims and survivors of gender-based violence, such as rape, domestic violence, and sexual harassment, and has provided them free counseling and legal information regardless of gender. Annually, they receive no less than 200 cases a year, with an average of 20 calls coming through the helpline every week. And so we're going to find out more about the work they do, and joining me to tell me more about that are Dr. Subhatra Jayaraj. She's the organization's vice president, and also Nisha Sabanayagam, who is the program and operations manager at AWAM. So welcome, ladies. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for having us, Juliet.
My pleasure. Good to have you on this show. So, before we get started about the work that AWAM does, I'm curious to know how the both of you actually came to be involved in, you know, in feminist activism. Maybe we can start with you, Nisha.
Well, actually, I got involved simply through applying for this position. So I've always been in the NGO world. You know, I worked for a long time with WWF on animal rights and the environmental rights. And when I decided I wanted a change, I applied for a position in AWAM. And Subha, who was the one who actually interviewed me, and obviously saw something in me. And so I became the operations manager, program and operations manager in December 2018. And I discovered an entirely vibrant new world, like the feminist movement, the women's movement in the Klang Valley and Malaysia as a whole is actually quite amazing. You know, they really fight for all kinds of different rights where women is concerned. We fight for workers' rights. We fight for, you know, sexual and reproductive rights. We fight for, you know, violence against women. And there's so many things happening, you know, at the same time. Mm. And I think during the process, I discovered, you know, that I myself was really somebody who always wanted to advocate for women's rights. So, mm-hmm. you know, this, I fit right in. And it's really a great scene to be in.
Okay. And what about you, Subha? I mean, we've had you on the show before, you know, I think it was almost 2 years ago. But just to remind us, you know, how you got into all of this.
Yes. Thanks, Juliet, for having me again. And I've always been active in community work. I'm a medical doctor by training. But AWAM gives us a space to actually explore different facets of feminism. And we're one of the organizations in Malaysia that are very proud to call ourselves a feminist organization. And we try to incorporate that into our work as well. Uh-huh. My work primarily revolves around sexual and reproductive health professionally. But as Nisha said, so many facets of Malaysian life needs more advocacy, mm-hmm. and feminism provides us a way to actually go through all this. Mm-hmm. In AWAM, we work through young people, we work with the government, we work with policymakers, we work with various different organizations. And this also allows the voices of young women, voices of women in Malaysia to be heard in different platforms. And I think that's why I got into work of AWAM.
Okay. And so, like, you know, Subha, you've been in for quite a while. Nisha, you're just quite new mm-hmm. to it. But, you know, I've spoken to a lot of women who work in this field, and the challenges seem to be always there, unfortunately.
Yes.
But, you know, before we get into that, let's actually talk about the history of AWAM. So you guys are 35 years old this year. That is no small feat, you know, to get to 35 years. Maybe just remind people about AWAM's mission and also vision, you know, and how that sort of relates to serving people.
So we have actually quite an interesting mission and vision. We talk about the fact that we want to make this world a fair and safe place for everybody. So it's not just about women, but we also look at society as a whole. So that's basically what AWAM has always been pushing for. Mm-hmm. We focus very much on our work in violence against women, and we do that through a two-pronged strategy. One is that we provide free counseling services and free legal information to initially, it was women in crisis, but we've opened it up to all kinds of anybody, basically.
Right.
So, and this is a really important aspect of our work because counselling services is so expensive. You know, like an hour of counselling can cost you 200 to 300 ringgit.
Mm.
But we do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what's really great about this is that we do it on a consistent basis. So people can come to us, you know, as often as they want until they feel that, you know, the need for counselling is no longer there. This is why actually also AWAM really requires funds, you know, because we want to be able to provide this service for free for people. Mm-hmm. The other prong or the other strategy of how we work is that we provide public education and training. So we do a lot of training on women's rights issues, and AWAM's main core focus at the moment, especially for this year, is sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. So the great thing about sexual harassment work that AWAM carries out is that we have actually decided that we just don't want to deal with the middle class English speaking crowd. You know, it's not just the PJ crowd, right? Although we are based in the heart of PJ, we want to actually reach out to different types of people, different demographics. So we've actually produced manuals in sexual harassment in 4 different languages.
Wonderful.
Yes, so English, Malay, Tamil, and Chinese. And we're trying to train as many people as possible in order to be able to spread the word. So our aim is to actually create this movement of people who have a zero tolerance towards sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing that we're really focusing on this year and the past year. And as Subha earlier said, that we worked with the government agency. So the government has also started opening up and they've started to work with us. And we are actually running training for three government ministries, the Ministry of Women, the Ministry of Sports, and the Ministry of Education.
Wow.
So we're really excited about that. And it's really great to see how they also are so open to us coming in and providing them with this training. And we're also running training of trainers with them, so they will be able to continue this. And hopefully this gets institutionalized within the government agencies, which sets a perfect example for, you know, other organizations to follow, like corporations, for example, and schools and universities.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing more openness to addressing these sorts of issues from, you know, government as well as corporations?
As well as members of the public. I think you see a lot of this on Twitter, which is really great, because a lot of people, when they get sexually harassed, they really don't know what to do.
That's right.
They get either very scared, they don't want to make it a big issue. It's almost seen as a taboo subject. And we should break that taboo, because, you know, technically sexual harassment should not happen. Uh-huh. Okay, there's also the flip side about it where you know, the person who harasses maybe does not realize that what he's doing or he or she's doing is sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way for everybody to talk about it, because this becomes like a preventive tool. Mm-hmm. And it's very clear to everybody what is sexual harassment, what isn't sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. So yes, to answer your question, yes, I think a lot more people are talking about it, corporations, government agencies, but obviously we would like to see more of this coming around. Mm-hmm. So the Ministry of Women has been working on drafting a sexual harassment bill for the past 1 year now.
That's right.
And AWAM, with a lot of other stakeholders, including non-women NGOs, have been involved in the drafting of the bill. And they are aiming to table the bill in March this year for the Parliament sitting that's coming around. So this sexual harassment bill that's going to be tabled in Parliament is really a great move forward where sexual harassment is concerned, because it incorporates it covers all the gaps that the other laws that we recently have that do not cover. For example, you know, sexual harassment doesn't just happen to women, it also happens to men, mm-hmm. you know?
Yep.
And women also harass men, women also harass women.
That's
men
right.
harass men harass women. So this law covers all of that. It also makes it a lot more easier for us to access justice, because we're forming something in the form of a tribunal within the bill. So you know how we have consumer claims tribunal,
That's
where you
right.
can go very easily and, you know, just make a claim and you know, try to get redress and access
redress,
to justice.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Wow.
And yes, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually the biggest factor is it's going to make all organizations, they're going to have to require, they are required to have a sexual harassment policy within the organizations, and a policy, not just a policy to tick the box, but a policy that actually works. Mm-hmm. And they're also required to carry out training and make their staff and the people within the organizations aware of what is sexual harassment and why it's not tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just looking at organizations, we're looking at schools, we're looking at universities, we're looking at political parties, we're looking at small informal organizations. So it's really a great move forward for the country, actually, and for the government. And
yes.
I really hope that it gets tabled. So we need everybody to support it, you know, go out on social media, talk about it, support it. And let's get this, you know, let's make this great big tick for Malaysia happen.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's been a long time coming. And,
yes.
you know, to finally see it come to fruition, hopefully, you know, in the next month or so, that's
yes.
that's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That must be what gives you hope as well, you know,
yes,
doing
actually the, it does.
The
yes.
work that
yes.
you do. I'm speaking today to Dr. Subhatra Jayaraj. She's the Vice President of AWAM, and Nisha Sabanayagam. She's the Program and Operations Manager at AWAM, which is the All Women's Action Society. And we're talking to them about the work that they do. AWAM is turning 35 this year, and they're going to be having a fundraiser actually at the just next month. So we're going to find out more about that after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today are Dr. Subhatra Jayaraj. She's the Vice President of the All Women's Action Society, and Nisha Sabanayagam. She's the Program and Operations Manager also at AWAM. And we're discussing the work that AWAM does. They are turning 35 this year, and and they're also going to have a fundraising dinner in mid-March,
March, I think. 14th on Saturday at the Renaissance Hotel at 7:30 p.m.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that a bit later, but first, I would like to know about sort of like your day-to-day work at AWAM. I mean, you know, I mentioned in my introduction earlier, you get 200 cases a year. You get an average of 20 calls coming through your helpline every week. You know, what sort of issues do you help deal with on a day-to-day basis?
So it's quite interesting that you asked that question, because just before I came for the interview, we did a little bit of a review of the 3 years of work in the services department, where we provide counselling and legal information. Mm-hmm. And we've had about, in the past 3 years, we've had about 600 people come in. And we looked at sexual harassment. We've had 55 cases of sexual harassment. We've had about 20 people come in for counselling services who are under 18, and mm-hmm. the youngest was 8 years old. Mm-hmm. So a typical day involves not knowing who actually is going to walk through that door to come in for counselling and legal services. You mm-hmm. know, we get people who just come in because they just want to talk about their grief, somebody whose husband has passed away and she doesn't know how to deal with it. I've seen a child 8 years old being harassed by somebody in her apartment building. The person who harassed her was the guy who washes the car downstairs, you know, right. And her parents comes in to talk to us because they don't know, you know, how it's going to affect the child emotionally or mentally. I've seen families come in, you know, because they want to get counseling on how to get along a little bit better, because they're constantly fighting. Mm-hmm. I've seen husbands come in because they want to know how to get rights to their children. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting. You know, we always assume that, you know, a divorce cases affect the mothers. But, you know, you get men who are actually so traumatized by the fact that they don't get to see their kids. We receive phone calls from women who are, you know, hiding in their rooms because their husbands are banging on the doors, you know, wanting to abuse them. So I don't want to use the word exciting, but it's definitely not boring. Mm-hmm. And it's almost mind-bending because, you know, when you get cases like this, we have to literally intervene and figure out what we can do. Mm-hmm. So thankfully, you know, we have a group of counselors and legal students who support us. Mm-hmm. And if necessary, you know, we take the people to the police station and help them make a police report. And then they can keep coming back to us, you know, as long as we can help them, we help them. If we're not able to help them, we refer them to an organization that helps them. At the same time, it's a huge amount of work, you know, answering emails, you know, learning up about the laws, you know, attending meeting other NGOs. It's so, you know, the 8 hours, it goes by so fast. You know, you go into the office, and I go in the office at 10, you know, mm-hmm. at 10, I get out of there by like 8 o'clock, but the days just go by so fast. Mm-hmm. But every day we do something that has an effect on society. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really crucial to know, that, you know, every little bit that we do eventually will have either a quick immediate effect, or it'll take its time, but there will be a long-term effect to society.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's wonderful that, you know, it's open to everybody. It's very AWAM in that sense. You know, you cater to so many different people and different needs. And I think that's important for people to know, because I think perhaps the perception is it's called the All Women's Action Society, correct? Mm-hmm. So there is a perception that you're only dealing with women-related issues, yes. right? So it's good for people to know. And I mean, what ways can they get in touch with you? Do they just need to walk in? Do they need to call you? Do they need to make appointments, etc.?
So they can walk in. They can call anytime to make an appointment. Usually we don't answer the phones. We state that, you know, we're open up to 5, but, you know, we still answer the phones at 6, 7. Sure. If anybody's in the office, they can answer the phones. Mm-hmm. Or they can, a lot of people actually connect with us through Facebook. Mm-hmm. They literally just send us like direct messages telling us they need help. And then we just figure out how to get them to come to the office. We would really prefer people to come into the office and talk to us face to face, because we have that service. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of it. You know, it's a safe space. You know, everything is kept private. Nothing is revealed to anybody. No names. The most that we talk about is the situations, but that's only to tell people that, you know, you're not alone. Mm. These things happen to everybody, you know, so don't be shy about talking about it. Don't be shy about making a police report, because every time you make a police report, it adds on to the data that the government really needs to ensure that they have the right policies to carry out to keep the society safe. Mm-hmm. So You know, worst comes to worst, don't want to go to the police, just come to us and we can always guide you through it.
Okay. And I'm curious to know what you think are the central challenges regarding gender-related issues currently, you know, both in the workplace and also at home, and, you know, how you think we can overcome those, well, in an ideal situation.
So in even when you talk about home and in the public space, there's a very fine line. The overarching issue here is patriarchy. How are we fighting systems of control over certain genders? And the most challenges we have is changing mindsets. Mm. So a lot of the public education that AWAM does is to look at these systems of oppression and to see how we can change. In Malaysia, unfortunately, there's a lot of social religious aspects to how we function as society. Mm-hmm. Indirectly, that translates into different forms of violence, discrimination and coercion, in which certain genders have a little bit more, are biased against. Mm-hmm. Women in particular, people who identify as women, different groups of people, marginalized communities, women, migrant workers, for example, women with disabilities. So different segments of the population have different intersectionalities in what we call. Mm-hmm. So to look at these different ways on how we can address it and how we can actually improve how we all are treated equally. Mm-hmm. So gender equality needs to be looked at. Not many people understand gender equality.
Yeah.
It is not a us against them yeah. issue. But the more that we talk about it and we understand where the roots of how it is and why it is happening is one way we can move forward. Mm-hmm. So that's what a lot of AWAM's work we do. We take the stories that Nisha mentioned. We get a lot of people come in seeking services from us, but how we kind of respect that is also to use those lived realities in our advocacy. Mm-hmm. And because those voices are not actually translated, and what AWAM gives is a platform in using these stories to say, look, these are happening on the ground. And, for example, even existing laws that we have and that we have fought for over 35 years.
Yeah.
For example, the Domestic Violence Act. Even though there's legislation in place, but there's still very much, barriers within the system that actually need to be improved.
Mm-hmm. So gaps in the law.
Yes, yes, definitely gaps. So, and how are women who come and access services, if they go to the police, what kind of challenges do they face? So we have all these, and we hope we can take these and continue to take this in our advocacy and improve. AWAM works as well with other women's organizations in Malaysia, in particular with the Joint Action Group for Gender Equality, JAG. Mm-hmm. And we've come a long way. And right now, JAG has 14 member yes. organizations all throughout Malaysia. What is important is that we all form a good unified voice into pushing things that we can improve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we actually also have members in Sabah and Sarawak. So
that's right.
There's a tendency, you know, for us to only for most people to only focus on Malaysia, but actually that, you know, Malaysia is Sabah and Sarawak mm-hmm. and Peninsula Malaysia. So it's really great that we actually have these organizations in Sabah and Sarawak, because, you know, issues like domestic violence is also still rife over there and everywhere else. And what Subha said was really important, that, you know, we still have laws, like the Domestic Violence Act is there, but domestic violence is still one of the biggest issues that, you know, our organization gets in terms of people coming in for counseling and legal information services. And I don't think it's just us. I'm pretty sure that other women's organizations that provide these kind of services also have domestic violence as one of their biggest issues or cases.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, is there a sense that that's ever going to get better? Because I mean, any women's yeah. rights groups that I speak to, it's the same problem, and it doesn't seem to be getting better.
So if I want to be like really feminist, I'm going to say smash the patriarchy. But feminism is not about, it's not a zero sum game as what Subha said. You yeah. know, it's really about making sure that everybody gets equal access and mm-hmm. equal rights. So will it ever get better? Yes, it will be a long fight ahead. But the first thing that we need to do is for people to realize that patriarchy is not a system that works fairly. You know, so as long as there is a belief and a strong sense of patriarchy in the country, we are not going to be able to get rid of the idea that women are second class, mm-hmm. you know, and that's why men feel that they have the right to beat women, you mm-hmm. know, because there's this sense of they are better than us. But that's not right. You know, we're equal. Gender equality is all about all of us getting equal access to our rights.
I think probably it is getting better, or probably we have more opportunity to reach out. And there's so much access to new media and this stuff. Social media, access to even women coming out of their homes, the more women in employment, more women able to actually participate in decision-making. And that's why I think what we are alluding to in our fundraising dinner as well, that we are going to celebrate 35 years of story, strength and solidarity. Mm-hmm. Because 35 years ago, it wasn't as easy as how Nisha and I have it now, fighting and advocating the government. We that's have true. Three ministries supportive of us. I am sure that 35 years ago, it was very, very difficult. And yet, this bunch of women came together and said, it is necessary because nobody's hearing women's voices. Mm-hmm. So we are planning to look back as well, see what we've come. And I'm sure we've come a long way. And we'll hear from the activists as well, how far and all the challenges and all the improvements, I'm sure. We are pushing certain bills and hopefully these stories, strength and solidarity will come out. And please come and join us and we can celebrate together.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not just about the victim and the perpetrator, right? I mean, violence against women, that's it's a community injustice and it's everyone's concern, you know. And I guess what you guys are working for is also advancing gender equality and women's rights in a policy context, right? I mean, that's so important
to
actually...
Yes, that's part of the work as well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And one other question I wanted to ask was how you actually navigate these sort of multicultural environments. You know, when you're dealing especially with allegations of violence against women, right? I mean, in Malaysia, you've got so many different races that you need to deal with, right? And so many different sorts of inbuilt sort of responses to these sorts of things or long-held thinking, you know, mindsets regarding violence against women. So what sort of considerations do you need to take into account? What sort of approaches do you need, you know, to think out when you are doing work with women of different origins?
Well, you know, that's the great thing. I wouldn't say it's a great thing, but that's the interesting theme about violence against women and also domestic violence. It cuts across all races. It cuts across all demographics, right? So in certain aspects, the issue of race and culture doesn't even come to play because everybody has the same problems. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just about, you know... The rights of the woman is not respected. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have cases where, you know, women come and tell us that, you know, it's because, you know, in my culture, in my family, this is how we see it as, right?
Yeah.
So it's something that obviously they have to break away from. And it's not easy. Yeah? It's not easy. I mean, it's easy for me to say, come to us, talk to us about your stories. You know, we'll help you. But we get that the process is very difficult and it takes a while. So that's why it's something that you have to do. The approach has to be very holistic. You do it on an individual basis. You do it on the basis of society. You do it on the basis of policy. And it has to come from all angles. And yes, you have to take into consideration that in certain cultures, it's going to be a little bit difficult because, you know, it's something that's so... it's something that's ingrained in us.
Ingrained,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, we all three of us here, we're all Indian. Mm-hmm. We know what it's like, right? Mm-hmm. But I think bit by bit, with education, with the use of social media, with the fact that, you know, we're a little bit more open, the spaces are a little bit more safer now, I think that we can really make a difference to move forward and to address these issues in a systematic and long-term manner.
And I think women just have more access to information. So they know they're not alone and they know that it's not right. You know, there's so many other women sharing stories. And I think that's very important as well.
But what we also want to make sure is that this access is not only just in English, and it has to be in Bahasa Malaysia, it has to be in Chinese, it has to be in Tamil. And, you know, hopefully we can even do it in different kind of dialects, especially for those in Sabah and Sarawak. Access to information means being able to understand the language as well.
Definitely.
Which is why also we train in multiple languages. Mm-hmm. So we've just completed the sexual harassment manual in Malay, in Chinese, and in Tamil
and
as
English,
well.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's also to reach out there to multilingual trainers. So if you're willing to come and if you're excited to come on board and help us spread the word on training on sexual harassment issues or gender issues, please come on board. You can go to the AWAM website, awam.org.my. We have all sorts of things there. There's also opportunities to volunteer and opportunities to participate. And we welcome everybody. Just come. We are very friendly. Yes. And
there's only five people in the team right now. So yes, we could certainly do with extra hands.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And, you know, very importantly, you know, you need to raise a total sum of 350,000 ringgit. And you're trying to do that through a fundraising drive, which includes a fundraising dinner, which is, of course, in conjunction with your 35th anniversary. So tell me a little bit about that.
We are hosting a fundraising gala dinner, disco style. It's going to happen on the 14th of March, 2020, in conjunction also with the International Women's Day period. It's going to happen in the Renaissance Hotel. We have supporting us the Queen of Comedy, Joanne Kum. She'll be there that night. So join us. Please book a seat. You can go to this email address, fun@awam.org.my. Mm-hmm. Just send us a note. We'll send you all the information. Seats cost 300 ringgit plus. And join us for a night to party.
Okay. Actually, you should buy a table. Bring your friends, buy a table. Cheapest table goes at 3K. And, you know, it's really money that's going to be put to good use. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be wasted on any frivolous thing. It's literally to help society so that we can have a safe space for everyone.
Yep. So everything is being channeled back into the work that you do,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. And, are you looking for corporate sponsors as well? You know, I mean, is that something that you're hoping for
as well? Yes, yes. We would really like to have a corporate sponsor. It'd be nice to have somebody to sponsor the venue for us and or the entire event. And, you know, if you can sponsor a table, tables go at 10K, 5K and 3K. Mm-hmm. We can give these tables to women who are, you know, who usually don't get a chance to go for these kind of events.
But yeah, I'll let you know what 10K can fund. Mm-hmm. If you're definitely interested, please drop us a line. 3K can fund 2 hours of community training. So we go out to the community and that will cover the budget. It also can cover our salary of a program officers. Our program officers do a multitude of things. 1K can cover our utilities and all our logistics for the month, so we actually make it stretch a lot. 2.5K can assist survivors for violence for 20 sessions of counselling. Mm-hmm. The money goes back directly into AWAM services and advocacy. Mm-hmm. And we are very accountable. We have our annual reports published every year on our websites. You can go again to awam.org.my.
Okay. And I think importantly also, I think a lot of listeners want to know, are donations tax exempt? And I think they are.
Yes, they are. If you give us a cash donation, we will definitely give you a tax exemption. And also, once again, you know, the money goes out to support the work that we do. And we want to provide a safe space for people to come into our office and, you know, have, you know, so that they feel comfortable in talking about their problems. So it's really a good thing to do. And you get to have fun. You know, you get to dress up in your disco gear, pretend that you're John Travolta. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, do good for society. So I think it's really a great event to come to. So March 14, 2020, 7:30 at the Renaissance Hotel.
Okay. All right. And if they want to get in touch, they can email you at fund@awam.org.my or they can call you at 03-7877-4221 for further information and clarification.
That's
Am I correct?
Right.
Okay. All right. And I mean, just before we go, you know, in a few sentences, perhaps, you know, what would you say AWAM's future vision is? What's the next 35 years looking like?
Wow. So this is the thing about working in a small NGO. You kind of work on a day-to-day basis.
I understand.
Daily survival. Kais pagi, makan pagi. But actually, no. So we're serious about thinking about having like a 5-year strategic plan. And the fundraising dinner is part of that, you know, for us to be able to plan our expenses and our finances properly so that we can actually run really sustainable programs. The idea is that, you know, maybe in 5 years' time, you won't need us. Because you know what? You already have a great sexual harassment policy. You know, there's already great policies for domestic violence. And, you know, maybe we're just there because, you know, it's a nice place to come and hang out and, you know, and have like a talk about, you know, women. But basically, yes, we're looking at being a lot more strategic and having long-term sustainable plans so that, you know, we can have really good policies in this country mm-hmm. that support women's rights.
Okay. And I guess also to address the intersectionality, as you were talking about, Subha, you know, there's so many different things. It's not just middle class income sort of problems.
It cuts across borders.
Society.
Absolutely right. So maybe that's also another thing that we're looking at, that we will reach out to more people of various different classes, various different races, who speak different languages, various on the demographic scale, you know, various levels.
Socioeconomic groups.
Yes, socioeconomic groups.
Because
exactly.
Even in the Klang Valley, there are many different socioeconomic groups. We work in PJ. PJ is so diverse by itself. It's one of the biggest constituencies. And we have a lot to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, a wonderful first step is even just having information in different languages.
Exactly. It's so simple, but it reaches out to so many people. It's such a, you know, brilliant idea, even if I do say so myself. You know, like, I think we did really well with that.
It's funny you mention it because some of the environmental groups who I spoke to, you know, they find it very hard to talk to, let's say, people in the Malay-speaking group because there's no information about it. In Malay, everything is in English. So, you know, that's something that even the environmental groups are working on, you know, getting that information in different languages. Well, I mean, well done on all the hard work
that you're doing.
And I do hope that everyone does come for this dinner. So again, it's happening on the 14th of March at the Renaissance Hotel in KL. Do get in touch with Awam if you'd like to sponsor a table or even if you'd just like to give them cash donations for their day-to-day work. You know, just get in touch with Awam. And your website, again, if it's awam.org.my?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And our phone number is 0378774221.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Dr. Supatra Jayaraj. She's the Vice President at Awam, and Nisha Sabanayagam, she's the Program and Operations Manager also at Awam, and they were discussing the work that they do. And again, get in touch with them and find out how you can also volunteer or get in touch with them to sponsor a table at their fundraising dinner or just to help them in their day-to-day work. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.